10 a.m. W245 CT Hayward. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. 9/11 plea deal killed. I'm Chuck Severson. Days after it was reached, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin has revoked the plea deal that guaranteed life in prison for Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and two other 9/11 plotters. ABC News Pentagon correspondent Louis Martinez.
Austin wrote in a memo that he was taking oversight of the military tribunal at Guantanamo. Responsibility for such a decision should rest with me, he wrote in a memo to the Pentagon official who had approved the plea deal.
The deal angered many 9/11 families. Others, like Patrick White, whose cousin Louis Nackey, rushed the cockpit of Flight 93 that crashed in Shanksville, Pennsylvania.
We've made our peace with it, and as long as they're going to be serving life and have no opportunity to ever be free, I'm okay with it.
But now the U.S. defense chief has killed the plea deal. The death penalty is back on the table. This is ABC News. A judge decided this date today.
President Biden's son, Hunter, will be sentenced on November 13th. Hunter Biden was found guilty in June of three felony gun charges related to him obtaining a firearm in 2018 when he was addicted to drugs. His sentencing will happen just 1 week after the presidential election. Hunter Biden faces up to 25 years in prison, but as a first-time and nonviolent offender, it would be highly unusual for him to serve time. The president has previously said he would not consider a pardon for his son. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Hunter Biden faces a separate criminal trial in September on federal tax charges. He has pleaded not guilty. The Justice Department has filed a lawsuit against TikTok and its parent company ByteDance, accusing the social media company of unlawfully collecting and retaining data from children. The Justice Department says the privacy violations have allowed children under 13 to interact with adult users and access adult content. Chuck Severson, ABC News.
This history can't be denied. Wisconsin is the home of the hamburger. About 30 minutes west of Green Bay, you'll find the city of Seymour, where in the 1880s, young Charlie Nagreen pushed his food cart to the fair. The 15-year-old planned to sell round balls of beef to visitors, but it didn't quite catch on. Can you guess the surprising reason why? The answer's coming up. Every summer, the home of the hamburger celebrates its history in a huge way with Burger Fest in Seymour. There's a 200-pound burger on the grill, a bun, run, ketchup slide, and of course, a burger-eating contest. So did you guess why Charlie's first beef recipe didn't work out? Well, as the story goes, visitors to the fair wanted to walk around. Charlie realized he needed to smash his beef ball between two pieces of bread to be able to eat it on the go. Charlie's hamburger, a huge success, making Seymour the home of the hamburger, a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A Wisconsin fugitive at large for nearly 30 years is captured in Iowa. George Hartlerode was convicted of rape in rural Chippewa County in 1983. Hartlerode was taken into custody in June in West Des Moines after he was stopped by police for not having a rear reflector on his bicycle. A reminder to operate ATVs and UTVs safely. Here's Lisa Hale.
20 people have died in ATV or UTV crashes so far this year, according to the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. 95% of fatal crash victims last year weren't wearing a helmet. The DNR urges operators and riders of vehicles to wear safety equipment. They also make clear that those born in or after 1988 must complete an ATV and UTV safety certification course to drive on public ATV and UTV trails.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers start a new pitcher. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers opening a weekend series in Washington against the Nationals. Frankie Montas will get his first start tonight in a Brewers uniform. He's still surprised. After 19 starts this season, the Reds traded him. So how does he feel about this game tonight?
I don't know, man. I just want to go out there, you know, pitch, grind. always good to come to a team that is in first place. These guys believe in me, so I believe in myself as well.
NFL Hall of Fame game called off in Canton, Ohio last night due to heavy rains and lightning. With a little over 3 minutes left to play in the third quarter, the Bears were leading the Texans 21-17. Caleb Williams did not suit up. The Packers family night is tomorrow night, and one of the things that the team wants to work on is that new formation on kickoffs. Special teams coordinator Rich Bisaccia had the NFL referees at practice this week.
They were in all of our meetings, back blocks, double team blocks, all those sort of things, really just to the initial alignment of both the kickoff and the kickoff returns.
That's the Packers coach Rich Bisaccia with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Heat and humidity continues this weekend before cooler and less humid weather arrives next week. Mostly clear tonight, a low in the mid-50s. Sunny, hot and humid, and a high in the mid-80s tomorrow. Isolated showers and storms Saturday night and Sunday. High near 80, cooler 70s next week. Currently at 75 degrees.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show on Monday, we will be recapping everything that happened over the weekend. I'm sure absolutely nothing never does. Join us. Don't miss out.
Mattenair on air. Weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He didn't cut a deep end.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, they do. Hey, we are here with State Senator Mary Kunish, but before we jump on with the State Senator, and also, well, I just want to say, too, also later we'll have Wendy Pilot on our sacred animal portion of the show. But before we get with the great State Senator here of Minnesota, why don't we take a listen to our friends in Wisconsin and with the governor with his weekly report.
Hey there, Native Roots Radio. Governor Tony Evers here with my weekly update. This week, we're kicking off the 173rd Wisconsin State Fair. For generations, the Wisconsin State Fair has showcased Wisconsin agriculture, industry, and all that makes our state the great place it is to live, work, and play. With livestock competitions, art exhibits, live music, shopping, rides on the Sky Glider, and new foods to try, there's something at the State Fair for everybody. I should know, my wife Kathy and I have gone to the State Fair together for 55 years this year. And this year is extra special because we're celebrating 100 years of one of my favorite State Fair traditions, the world-famous original cream puff. It's why I'm proclaiming August 10th, 2024, Cream Puff Day in Wisconsin, as we celebrate 100 years of this time-honored State Fair tradition and all the folks who helped make it happen, including the Wisconsin Bakers Association. A celebration of America's Dairyland with fresh whipped sweet cream in the middle. The cream puff first debuted in the Wisconsin State Fair in 1924 and has been served every year since. It's estimated that 50 to 60 cream puffs are purchased every minute during the State Fair, and that's more than 400,000 cream puffs. I can't believe it. Can you? To celebrate, try one of this year's specialty flavors. Stick to the original or do it Evers style and take a few home like Kathy and I do to put in the freezer and enjoy later. Whatever you do, get out to the Wisconsin State Fair and celebrate all that makes Wisconsin, Wisconsin. Thank you. Back to you, Robert, and Native Roots Radio.
Wow, the governor is hot on the cream puffs. And you know, State Senator, when I was called a cream puff in high school, that was fighting words. So interesting that the state candy might be cream puff, but congratulations on 100 years and Wisconsin State Fair only means to me that the Minnesota State Fair is right around the corner.
It is absolutely right around the corner. And I have to admit that I love cream puffs. I love making cream puffs. They're really, really pretty easy to make. And I did not know that Wisconsin held it in, or that it like started there. They hold it in such high esteem as that. So never been to their state fair. I wonder if it's time to take a drive over there and see what it's all about.
Well, you know, Haley will want you to bring her some cream puffs. So
I don't think I've ever had one.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding. When I first listened to the update, I'm like, what is that? A cream cheese wonton? I didn't I had to look it
no,
up.
No, you make this, you know what choux pastry is?
No.
Oh, it's that really light. It's basically like flour and butter and water, and you boil it all together, and then you separate the eggs, and you put egg yolk in one by one, and it makes this this soft batter, and you bake it, and it's really super light. It's like a popover, a sweet popover.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And then, like, I make my own custard cream filling for it. So, and it's just so flippin' delicious. I'll make it for you sometime.
Oh, I would really love that. Yeah, I looked
any
it up. They look good.
Any excuse to make them, trust me, I jump on it. So,
well, yeah. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents Cream Puff Talk.
The State Fair Talk.
Yeah. Well, we'll be.
It's that time
we'll
of be... year.
We'll be doing enough of that soon. We're getting revved up for Native Roots Arts, our store at the State Fair. And poor Haley will have to come out and do the show a couple days in that soaring heat.
But, hey, a couple days will do.
Exactly. Well, and then I know, State Senator, I see you there. And, you know, there's mm-hmm. also our State Fair. There's Native American Heritage Month on the Sunday, I believe, the 25th. Don't quote me on that, but it's count. And so there's a lot of things happening at the State Fair that we all enjoy. And I always love running into politicians.
Yeah. Yeah, there's always lots of us there. I mean, we have the big DFL booth, mm-hmm. Democrat Farmer Labor Union booth, where all the politicians, the Democrat politicians, show up. And then in the education building, if you go way in the back, there's a booth about our state government. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the senators and the state representatives sign up for a shift or two, and we're there, and people can come up and talk to us. Ask us any questions they want, and we always have a whole questionnaire put together for the people of Minnesota or who's ever at the fair, asking questions like, should we make cursive writing mandatory again? Should we have a constitutional amendment for the equal rights? All kinds of different questions. Should the... what is it called? The not the giant beaver, the something kind of beaver be our state animal. I mean, there's all kinds of questions. And so you can come in, fill that out, and then run it through a machine that's like a voting machine, and mm-hmm. it tabulates the answers and gives us the results.
Maybe we can have a food demonstration making cream puffs there, State Senator.
Wow, that would be kind of cool. We would need an oven, though. We would need an oven.
And it's kind of hot in that room anyway.
Yeah, it's toasty in there anyway. But yeah, we're out there. We're out there and we're out and about. And then, you know, it's kind of a fun place to be, to people watch and eat all that good food on a stick. And
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, speaking of which, on Sunday, our friend Bernie Sanders will be in town, and he's stumping for Ilham, and that'll be fun. I got an invite to that, so I'll be hanging out with Bernie and you know, doing my distant selfie, you know.
Well, yeah, there's that's going to be kind of a fun event. Like you said, he's stumping for Ilhan Omar and her return to Congress.
Right.
Unfortunately, I can't go to that. I'm leaving tomorrow for Kansas for another conference, but I hope that there's a good show up for them. It's pretty exciting.
Absolutely. And we have our Ho-Chunk relative that's a representative of Kansas, and that's Charisse Davids, and give her a big hello for us.
Oh yeah, she is. I forgot about that. So I'll be there. There's a big women's leadership couple of days, but also our Native legislators will be gathering there too. And I haven't checked with my person, but I'm sure we'll be hearing and seeing from Charisse. Yeah.
That's exciting. Hey, we're here with State Senator Mary Kunish, and more cream puff talking up on the next segment. Please stay tuned and listen.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex, recording sexual acts without permission, hurting someone because of their sexual orientation, raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger, purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Hi, I'm Scott Chambliot from Chambliot Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, shame-free dental office. We know dental anxiety and dental phobia are real. We'll take the time to get to know you and give you what you need to be comfortable at all times. We offer free nitrous oxide laughing gas and have high-tech options to help you feel calm and relaxed during your appointments. We'll help you get through every appointment in the most pain-free way possible. If you're having a dental emergency, we'll try and get you in the same day you call, because we don't like to see anyone in pain. As my daughter Rachel says,
if you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth, because they're the only ones you get.
This is Chad, owner of AM 950. I've been going to Chambliot Family Dentistry for years. They get me in last minute when I'm in pain and make regular checkups easy and comfortable.
Chambliot Family Dentistry in Hopkins and St. Paul. Find them online at ChambliotFamilyDentistry.com or call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native Concrete and Masonry. Check out their work at nativeconcretemasonry.com and give Chuck a call at 612-597-0421.
Hey, we're here with State Senator Mary Kunish, and we love talking and kibitzing here on Friday. The whole week, we've had both Lieutenant Governor Rodriguez and Lieutenant Governor Flanagan on the show, and we've had a lot of powerhouses like yourself on the show, and we've been talking about how we feel so relieved and so good. We were talking a little yesterday with Robert Lilligren. It even bleeds into my other job, my other political job, where I feel really a lot more excited now and less pressure with Kamala and all the great things that have happened in the last less than 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's amazing the change in attitude and engagement with the announcement, of the president, of Biden's, you know, kind of stepping aside and making that space for Kamala. And I mean, it's just, It's phenomenal. And it's interesting because it's not just like women or women of color that are excited about her, but like so many people. This past week, I was in California with my family. We went on a rafting camping trip on the lands of the Miwok folks. And, you know, we talked a lot about it and what it means for all our different communities. I mean, some of us are from rural Minnesota, from the urban Minnesota, California, all over came together. And, you know, there's a big chunk of my family that are pretty conservative. And but they were excited. They were also very appalled by the rhetoric that was coming out of the Republicans' mouths almost right away. Well, is she Indian or is she Black or is she, you know, is she a U.S. citizen? All of that kind of ridiculousness. It really offended more people than I thought. I thought, you know, we all think we've heard it before, we've seen it before, we expect nothing less of them. But then when you start to see some of the really ugliness that comes out, some t-shirts that were just appalling. If anything, I think it just builds her perseverance to get out there and speak her truth. And, you know, she obviously is not afraid of Trump and encourages him, like, bring it on. Yeah. Say it to my face. Mm-hmm. I love that. I absolutely love that. So, she excited everybody and certainly has energized so many as well. And now we just have to see who she's choosing as a VP.
Yeah, that's interesting. We talked a little bit about the possibility of our governor. I don't think that's going to happen, but Wendy and I were talking about going, that's cool. We know him. He knows us, you know. That would be so awesome in that way. And then we'd also have the highest ranking Native American go up one step and become governor. Our Lieutenant Governor Flanagan would be the first Native American governor, I believe, in the United States.
I wonder if there isn't someone up in Alaska already, but nonetheless, she certainly is opening that door for more people to step through. And so, yeah, if our Governor Walz were to become the vice president, it would have a very, very, very rippling effect on all the different positions in state government. Because if Lieutenant Governor becomes governor, then the president of the Senate, who is Bobby Joe Champion, would become the lieutenant governor. Then we would be out a legislator, so we'd have to have a special election for him and choose a new president for the Senate. Or maybe he would say, I don't want to be lieutenant governor. I want to be president of the Senate and I want to be chair of my committee and I want to be able to continue my career. They would give up a lot. Whoever, you know, were to become our lieutenant governor would be giving up a lot because it's not a high paying salary. There's not a lot of power in that position. It's not, you can't legislate. And it's the governor who's really making the final decisions. So, but you never know. I mean, look what happened here. We all of a sudden have a opportunity for Governor Walz to perhaps become vice president, or, you know, even down the road, become a member of
right.
cabinet. So there's just so many variables. It's nuts. People are like, oh, what's going to happen? I'm like, well, this or this or this or that. We just don't know what's going to happen. So,
well, that's interesting, too. What does Teresa think?
What does what?
Your sister think that works for Biden?
Patrice? Oh, gosh. Yeah, she, she's pretty thrilled, at the thought of a Minnesota as a vice president. And for those of you who don't know, my sister Patrice works on the in the Biden administration right now, like under the Health and Human Services and of Native Americans. And she's just recently been nominated to head up Indian gaming in across the nation. She's got a lot of experience in that. Did you know that?
No.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And so, I mean, that's sort of her area of expertise. But I think that she's very excited to have Kamala as our next president. And we are pretty confident that, that, you know, the position such as the Department of the Interior will continue to do the good work, and that those people that are in the positions that are making a difference out there now will stay in those positions. Because if you're a political appointee out there, everything changes with who's the governor, who's the president. And so there's a huge turnover, and this would just ensure that she gets to stay out there. Yeah.
Wow. That's awesome. And yeah, oh my goodness, there's so many different variables going on. And I think for me, I'm hoping we just keep it simple and keep things the way they are here in Minnesota, because there's a lot of moving parts that, like you said, that will be moving around. And but Wendy and I were kind of excited about just talking about that, going, oh, well, we know the governor and he knows us by first name. And, you know, he's got a good memory, too. But so I just really feel like there's so many good things going on with this announcement in the 2 weeks, the $200 million, all those things that really have totally excited me. And it's interesting, like people that maybe are a little younger than Haley, that are Gen Z, did not really experience Obama, and I feel like this is kind of the same thing here. We're really excited and energized, all the young people.
Yeah, it's a different candidate, because somebody pointed out to me recently, there has not been a ballot where there hasn't been a Bush, Clinton, or Biden on the ballot since Jimmy Carter.
1976.
I mean,
it would be 1980, yeah.
Yeah, he was the first president I ever voted for.
Me too.
So in my lifetime, basically, my voting lifetime, there's always been one of those people on the ballot. And this is a big change. This is a really, it really takes us down a whole different corridor. And so I am, for one, I'm excited to see where it takes us.
And I think just by that being another reason, I think the young people and, you know, the Gen Zs really saved us the last election. And I really believe they're going to again, just because of the, and how they got energized in just these 2 weeks monetarily, and also volunteering over 100,000 people the first 24 hours are new volunteers.
And the amount of money that has been donated is just phenomenal. And they're saying this isn't coming from the billionaire millionaires with special interests or the oligarch. This is coming from small first-time donors, you know, like that's a huge message that's being put out there. And so I'm really excited. And I think, you know, we all know too that a big difference in the last election was the Native vote and what an impact that was, you know, especially in unique pockets of population, Native population last year. I mean, honestly, they probably carried some of those states that Biden won.
Yeah, and we were going to talk about some of the organizations in the next segment, but you know, we had 9 almost
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
This is a special report from ABC News. 9/11 plea deal killed. I'm Chuck Sievertson. Days after it was reached, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin has revoked the plea deal that guaranteed life in prison for Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and two other 9/11 plotters. ABC News Pentagon correspondent Louis Martinez.
Austin wrote in a memo that he was taking oversight of the military tribunal at Guantanamo. Responsibility for such a decision should rest with me, he wrote in a memo to the Pentagon official who had approved the plea deal.
The deal angered many 9/11 families. Others, like Patrick White, whose cousin Louis Nackey, rushed the cockpit of Flight 93 that crashed in Shanksville, Pennsylvania.
We've made our peace with it, and as long as they're going to be serving life and have no opportunity to ever be free, I'm okay with it.
But now the U.S. defense chief has killed the plea deal. The death penalty is back on the table. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's home energy rebates aim to make homes more energy efficient. The program launched Friday. Households in the program, sponsored by the U.S. Department of Energy, can save up to $14,000 for upgrades. The program should save people $1 billion a year and support 50,000 jobs. If there's a collector in your family, they may get 15 minutes of TV fame. Savannah Tomei Olson explains.
Listen up, especially if they're fans of the History Channel. The crew from American Pickers is headed to Wisconsin. However, they haven't planned their trip yet. They need to decide where to go. They're looking for people with extraordinary collections of antiques, which, if you've seen the show, sometimes looks like garages full of stuff or junkyards. If that sounds like someone in your life, they want to hear from you. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. People worldwide are watching more colored television than ever. Netflix, for the first time ever, reported that all 10 of their top shows pulled in over 1 billion minutes viewed. Variety reports that during the week of July 1st, streaming platforms recorded over 313 billion viewing minutes over various platforms. That is the most streaming consumption ever for a single week. The Nielsen Company started its top 10 list in 2020. Fans of Britney Spears have a new biopic to look forward to. People magazine reports the film will be based on her 2023 memoir called The Woman in Me. You remember that book that came out where Spears looks surprised that she's topless on the cover? That's sneaky photog. The film will be produced by Mark Platt, who also produced La La Land. Variety reported that Universal won the rights to the film project and has access to Spears' entire music catalog. Hopefully, they won't use it in the movie. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Heat and humidity continues this weekend before cooler and less humid weather arrives next week. Mostly clear tonight, a low in the mid-50s. Sunny, hot and humid, and a high in the mid-80s tomorrow. Isolated showers and storms Saturday night and Sunday. High near 80, cooler 70s next week. It's 69 degrees right now.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson.
The moment I walked out of the auditorium, I said, it's our time now. It's the little girls that look like me who wake up with brown skin and sometimes wonder, do they matter? To have someone like Kamala, who is not only qualified, but representative of voices that have been ignored for far too long, it felt like all things are possible.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
The host of American Ninja Warrior, Matt Eisman. When I first started watching Ninja Warrior, it was like, this guy was a track athlete. Now they train to be Ninja Warriors. It's like doing the Stairmaster to be better at the Stairmaster.
These were kids who grew up watching Ninja Warrior. They weigh 140 pounds. They don't have anything but muscle, and all they're doing is algebra homework, and they remind me how old I am.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the hilarious and deadpan comedy stylings of Tom Ryan. And Green Bay band Ask Your Mothers, Eric and Adam, will join me to perform in studio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights 7 till 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native-owned J.S. Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
I am awake. Hey, we're here with State Senator Mary Kunich, and later in the show we'll have our friend and my best friend, Wendy Pilot, on in the next segment talking about our sacred animals. But hey, State Senator, thanks again for coming on and visiting with us every Friday. We have exciting things happening here, grassroots kind of happenings with a lot of groups helping us get the vote out.
Yeah, it's a huge focus for a lot of groups, but especially when we look back on the last two election cycles from the Native perspective. I think especially last session, and I wish I had those numbers, in front of me, but the last two election cycles really proved the power of Native American vote, especially in our federal elections. And when we as Native folks, Indigenous folks, look at the history of the United States and the decisions and all the different acts that came out of our federal government, relocation, reservation, all of those things. It is just vital that we look at who is representing us at that federal level, because if they are not looking out for the best interests of our tribes, then those are not the folks that we want to have representing us. And so I think it's really important that we get out the vote in Indian country. I'm trying to think of approximately in over the last couple of election cycles, I think I read somewhere around 61% of Native American voters vote Democrat. And I think, again, we want to make sure that we're looking at who's representing us in the best way. So a couple things happened. There was a big kickoff with Illuminative and NARF, the Native American Rights Fund, this past week. My sister and I were out in California, so we didn't participate, though we did get online for Native women and Two Spirits to support Kamala Harris. But there is this Native run, especially woman-led and racial social justice organization that is really working hard to build power for Native people and to advance our justice and equity and self-determination. And they've paired, Illuminative has paired with Native American Rights Fund. And they're working on a program. It's called Count Our Votes, The Power of Native Votes. And that kicked off on this past Wednesday, the 31st in DC. And it started by recognizing, first of all, the 100th anniversary of the Indian Citizenship Act. And then to continue to build on our struggle to towards the, like our basic fundamental right to vote in Indian communities. And I think I've mentioned this a number of times, especially in the last election when I was working here in Minnesota on Get Out the Vote in Indian Country, how many Native folks didn't even realize that they could vote. They thought they were limited to their tribal elections. I don't think that that's the big secret anymore, but we do want to make sure that the tribes across the nation have access to the ballot box, that they get registered, and they have the opportunity to make the choices that are going to be detrimental to them and their families.
Yeah, absolutely. And, we talk a lot of organizations, and of course we talk about our friends here locally that have really sprung out nationally too, is Make Voting a Tradition here in the Twin Cities by another leg of Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities that do just such great work. And they're everywhere now, and they're registering people. And I know you were talking about a couple cycles ago that over 9,000 new registered voters up in the reservations up north were signed up. And that's substantial, you know, when you're talking, you know, Wisconsin, you know, it was less than 10,000 votes at Biden by and won by, and also 10,000 or 20,000 votes that Trump won by. So that's like three votes in each county.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it adds up. I think sometimes people think, oh, I'm just one vote and it doesn't make a big difference. You know, somebody else will step up and do it. But those one votes accumulate into hundreds and then thousands and then tens mm-hmm. of thousands. And it can make or break an election. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not that hard to do. I mean, if you get registered, if you ask for an early ballot, you can oftentimes, you know, just get it mailed in, get it done ahead of time. I know for a lot of our Native communities across the nation, they just live so far from right. town, and there aren't ballot boxes, or they place ballot boxes, the counties place ballot boxes in unfriendly areas like the police right. station or something like that. Mm-hmm. I know that next year, Representative Greenman and I are going to be working on sort of a voting reform in mm-hmm. Indian Country for Minnesota. But we've been working really hard, especially in Minnesota, to ensure that there is access to easy voting. So if you do live way out in town, if you're coming into town, you can drop your ballot off early. Things like that. If, you know, if you don't have that mail access, you know, remember when they were saying you can't vote if you don't have an actual like house address,
right.
and, you know, our communities are oftentimes very spread out and they right. don't have a house address or a street address or an avenue address, you know, the Butte out in Montana, you know, whatever it is, they just didn't have it. And so they were saying, you can't vote.
All right.
That's not the American way. And it certainly is illegal.
Well, so, we had our friend Christy Noem really making it hard on North Dakota tribes. I remember mm-hmm. They were getting rid of places to vote as it was mm-hmm. getting close to the election and making it super hard to vote. So that's just amplifying a little bit of what you're saying in our neighboring states.
Yeah.
Thank goodness I live in Minnesota.
Yes. I, you know, I've been going to conference after conference this summer, and so many people ask me, how are you getting all that stuff done in Minnesota? How is it that you can move really good legislation in Minnesota? Well, you know, it doesn't hurt to have the trifecta. Yeah. But also, there's a lot of good people in Minnesota who, you know, might represent themselves as Democrat or Republican. But we have a lot of independent voters, I have a feeling, who really vote on the issue and they vote on the individual. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes that's hard to track. But we are really fortunate to be here in Minnesota and have the reproductive freedoms that we have, the quality of living as far as the environment goes, our roads and bridges, our infrastructure. Education isn't where we want it yet, but we're working on that. And that's the thing, is that we have the opportunity to work on these. It's not like, well, I'll never get it passed. No, they will never give us money for any of this stuff. So why even try? We Dems just keep trying and building on what the successes that we've had so far. And I do oftentimes feel really sorry for those other legislators coming from states yeah. that just don't have the opportunity Minnesota has.
Well, it was a bipartisan vote for our MMIWR office, correct?
Yeah.
That's huge. And I did get my plates ordered. I had to pay a couple of years worth of tabs, but I, and then plus the charge for the for the plate, but I'm going to have that. It's going to say Land BK.
Nice. Yeah. Ooh, that's a good one. That's a really good one.
Yeah, there was Ho-Chunk was taken, and I forgot. I was a dum-dum, and I was thinking, well, there's different plates for different designer plates, but they all have this different numbers and different letters, so you can't mm-hmm. have the same, even if it's a regular plate, I can't have the one saying Ho-Chunk, because mm-hmm. I tried with an O and also with a zero, and somebody must have got it a long time ago. I wasn't even thinking, but there was no Land BK.
Wow, I can't believe that wasn't taken already.
Yeah, I'm excited. Wendy's excited too, I can see. Well, yeah, and then that was bipartisan, and so that really does amplify what you said. If it's good legislation, good people, and good ideas, and presented in a good way, mm-hmm. people cross lines.
Yeah, they will. So we'll just keep plugging away at it and see where it takes us.
Well, what else? We got like a minute left. What's your week looking like here? I know there's always something going on, and I'm sure we'll have some surprise visits from whoever is going to be the new vice president pick from Vice President Harris, and that'll be fun, and we'll be able to talk about that, and I'm sure they'll travel here, and, you know, just let me know, Mary, when you get to meet Harris, Wendy and I will come along and hang out with you and get a selfie.
Yeah, I'm just really excited about what's to come here. And mm-hmm. I know we're all on pins and needles about who the choice for vice president will be. I mean, Minnesotans, there have been a few guys that have already been considered for vice presidency, and
Humphrey was.
There's that Humphrey, and then we've had a few other ones. So they know what they're going to get when they come from Minnesota, and it can only be good.
And Mondale too was vice president.
Mondale, yep.
That's right. Hey, thanks, State Senator Mary Kunish. Have a great weekend and a great week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good, everybody. Welcome to Tonka.
See you later. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back with Wendy Pilot with our sacred animal section. Stay with us. Oh,
the city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
The Powderhorn Art Fair is celebrating 33 years of community and local art on the weekend of August 3rd and 4th. This year's event will be the biggest yet, with a record number of artists and vendors. Over 190 local and regional artists will exhibit their work, offering diverse art from clay and digital art to jewelry and woodwork. Floral and garden vendors will bring extravagant bouquets and blooming artistry to the park. And the Powderhorn Art Fair will highlight local businesses, arts nonprofits, and eco-conscious upcycle artists. Whether you're an art enthusiast or a casual buyer, there's something for everyone. Plus, enjoy sweet and savory treats from more than 20 food trucks. There's the kid-friendly family zone, packed with creative activities. And don't miss the on-site DJ providing vibrant sounds throughout the weekend. The Powderhorn Art Fair is free to the public, with proceeds supporting PPNA community initiatives. Make plans to head to the Powderhorn Art Fair on Saturday and Sunday, August 3rd and 4th from 10 to 5 at Powderhorn Park in Minneapolis. More at powderhornartfair.com.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Did you just say thank you and wolf and wolf talk?
Our cat once said thank you.
A couple times freaked me out, Wendy. Mm-hmm. Your cat, Wendy brought a cat to us from New York, and not only could he talk, he kind of had a New York street accent too when he did it.
I love that.
Right?
Introduce me.
Hey, Wendy. I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy. Wendy Pilot's been an animal advocate. Why am I saying this in a Southern accent? An animal advocate for many years, and she's been spewing out some beautiful sacred animal section on Native Roots Radio for over 8 years. So welcome, Wendy.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani. That means cares for them. And I was given that name by my Daga Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajingo, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States. And I work on animal issues at the local and state level. It's always my pleasure. I have some hard facts to not just fun facts. I do have fun facts.
Yay.
But before we get to the fun facts, I just want to give a shout out for some facts that are kind of hard to hear. But I think maybe if some people hear these facts, they would be more inclined to go to the shelter or foster an animal. So here are seven facts about animal shelters.
I want a dog.
I know. We have a dog. Okay, so 7 million dogs and cats are euthanized every year because the shelters are too full. 7 million. That's a lot. Homeless animals outnumber humans 5 to 1.
So that means we have to, each one of us have to have 5 dogs. I just want another one. Just
yeah,
one, Wendy,
so 5 dogs. So I thought it was less, but it is. Well, or 5 animals, 5. You know, I thought it was more for cats. I thought that was 7 to 1.
Cats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I do listen.
This was shocking to me. I didn't know this, but 90% of pets that come into the shelter are not spayed or neutered.
How many?
90%.
Wow.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? I had no idea.
There it is right
there. There it is right there. You know, the shelters do a great job of making sure that the animals are spay and neutered before they are adopted out. Most of the shelters are really good about making sure they're vaccinated and have all their wellness checks and things like that. So, you know, that's why sometimes adoption fees could be a little bit expensive, but all those things cost money, you know. Most strays are not kept indoors or provided with ID tags. So, of
Jeez.
Course, yeah. So the strays that are out there, you know. Okay, so more than 25% of the dogs that are brought into the animal shelter are purebred dogs.
How many?
25% of the dogs brought into the shelter are purebred dogs. Mm. You know, a lot of people want a specific breed just because they watched it in a movie or, you know,
Chihuahuas.
or something. So they see this dog in the movies mm-hmm. and they're like, oh, I want that kind of dog. But they don't really do the research to find out whether that dog is a good fit for their family, if there's kids, if they live in an apartment, how much exercise the dog needs, how much care it needs. So then they get the animal and they're like, whoa, this is not what I bargained for, right?
Wow.
And then people are just like, oh my gosh, I don't have the time and energy to train the dog. You know, when you get a dog, a lot of people think like they come trained, like, you know, but they don't. You have to spend a lot of time training the dog and, you know, spending time with the dog so it knows.
Our dog is, and cats over the years have trained us. So
Wanda has me trained for sure.
Yeah.
You see her when we're out for a walk. Jeez. Oh my God, this dog, seriously.
She wants a treat. She just looks at you.
Oh, I know, she's nuts. Oh, here's another one. Only 1 out of 10 dogs born will ever find a forever home.
What?
Yeah, only 1 out of 10 dogs born will ever find a forever home.
That's ridiculous.
So whether they'll be in the shelter, they'll be adopted out and then returned. Yeah, Isn't that crazy? So adopting from a shelter will save a life. We know that. So contact your local shelter and make a difference.
Let's do it right after the show.
I know, right?
We'll pick one out for Haley too.
I would always like to go like the underdog, you know, the dog who's been there the longest or hasn't, you know, who's the oldest, maybe has some like medical issues and have a small chance of being adopted. So that's,
we did that with Princess, our cat.
Yeah.
And she ended up being just an awesome, beautiful being.
Yeah.
That loved me.
Yes, yeah, she did love you. So, you know, I've been collecting these little memes.
Yeah. Right? And it's funny you describe them over the radio, which I think is awesome.
Sometimes it's hard. I hope that I'm able to convey what the memes are saying. So this is a really cute one. It's all these dogs and they're in a circle, and this is called the Dogs Afraid of Cats Support Group. Dogs Afraid of Cats Support Group. So the one dog says, I have nightmares about puffy tails and claws in my face. And then the next dog says, me too. And then the next dog says, I'm going to tell her it's my bed and she shouldn't be sleeping in it. And then the next dog says, you've been saying that for a month, Bruce. I see it all the time, like, you know, if you're on TikTok or Instagram, a lot of dogs are really afraid of cats. So the dog will be tiptoeing down the hallway because he knows that the cat's at the end of the hallway, and he goes really, really slow because the cats, you know, could be nasty. They jump out at you. Right. I have a picture. This is years ago when we had Pancho, our Chihuahua. He was at the top of the stairs, and Lucy,
we didn't name him,
Lucy was laying in the middle of the stairs. And
poor thing.
Pancho would not walk down the stairs because Lucy was laying on one of the steps, because she would have swatted him. And she,
a couple
and
times.
He knew it, you know.
She had a good jab, like a jab, jab, jab.
Right
to the dog's head.
She really did.
Your guys' stairs are steep too.
Yeah, our stairs are steep. So I took a picture of it and I put it on Facebook. Again, this is years ago, and I said, you know, I put it as Lucy saying, "You shall not pass," and I got a lot of likes on that one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we all know that dog's life is much shorter than human life. It's important to take time to spend allowing the dog so the dog can be a dog, right? Sniffing, rolling, digging, exploring, and making choices. I want Wanda to have some autonomy over her little body and her choices. So sometimes, like, I let her
make... Kamala, then.
I let her make decisions on like which way we go, or if, you know, we get to a corner, like she'll let me know which way she wants to go.
Vote BP Harris then.
And if I don't want to go that way or we can't go that way, I find myself negotiating at the corner with Wanda about why we can't go that way. You know, Wanda, you know, it's too dark. It's not this. I tell her, like, the pavement's too hot down there. There's not enough trees or shade. Like, I find myself talking to her like she understands what I'm doing. But allowing the dog to express themselves naturally, even when they're on the leash. So sometimes Wanda will be walking and she'll, you know, sniff around, and I don't know what she smells, but she'll just like roll on her back and like really, really roll in it.
Yeah,
I really like,
it's,
you know,
pee.
Wiggle her back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. But she really is having the time of her life. And I read somewhere when a dog does that, of course, they're in something stinky and you don't know what it is. But it's you know, releasing endorphins and dopamine and serotonin and all those good feeling hormones for them. And it's really a good way for them to you know, let out some steam. And then when she gets home, I wipe her down with a doggy wipe.
And she smells beautiful.
Lavender, hey, lavender scented.
Wendy, you really messed me up. I took her for a walk, and then I wanted to go a certain way, and she would only go if I gave her a treat. Thank you, Wendy. Hey, great segment as always.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matinee on Air.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll take a look back at the news of the weekend. Has Kamala Harris picked her VP, or is it still to come? Find out Monday.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.